Hey there, this is Seth Wars from Channel 9 coming to you from the beautiful city of Mechelen here in Belgium. Beautiful country, by the way. For Techorama 2016, I have a special guest. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you do, bud.
I'm Kevin Dox. I'm an architect. Been in the sector for about 13 years now. And I mainly work on APIs, building APIs, RESTful architectures these days, and security. So that typically means O2 OpenID Connect.
So let's talk about security, because one of the problems nowadays is I feel like as developers, security is the last thing we think about, but it should be the first, right?
It should definitely be the first.
So tell us a little bit about OpenID Connect and how it's going to make this a little bit easier for us as developers.
I'm not sure if it's going to make it easier, because okay. it takes a bit of work to get it right. Because the thing with security and these protocols is that it's very easy to get it wrong.
Okay.
I mean, we come from a world 10 years ago, let's say, you use ASP.NET Web Forms. Uh-huh. It's very, very easy to just say, okay, Forms Authentication or Windows Authentication,
and
you're done. And now we have OAuth2 and the superset, OpenID Connect. And if you're going to implement that, you have a few decisions to make. You have to think about which flow is correct for my application, and how should I implement it, and what are the other types of attacks I have to protect myself against.
So let's go down to the basic level, because I need help. Everyone, I think a lot of people need help with this, and you're the good guy, a good guy to talk to about this. Let's just say I'm building a website, and all I want to do is I want people to log in and store their cookbooks, for example, like recipes. I need to do authentication for them.
Yeah.
But I also need some authorization stuff as well, because you want to have an admin that can manage everybody. Yeah. How do I do, what are some sort of things that you would suggest that I start to look at to do that?
So for a typical application, you're going to need two things. You're going to want to log in. Mm-hmm. So you need some kind of token you can use to log in with in your application. And you're going to need something for resource authorization. So a typical web application talks to an API. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need a kind of token that you can use for authorization. And those two tokens are defined. The first one is an identity token defined by OpenID Connect. That can be used to log into an application, server-side web app.
Sure.
And the access token, that can be used to secure access to your API, to resources, actually.
So where do these tokens come from? How do you get one generated for you? And then how do you use that in regular sort of authentication authorization? It's like a lot of questions.
Yeah.
just tell us the whole thing, man.
You're going to want to have some sort of middleware that handles that for you, like identity server.
Okay.
That's the one I typically use. Azure AD is also possible.
Uh-huh.
And those are the authorization services or server that implement the authorization server part of the protocols of OAuth and OpenID Connect. So you'll typically have your application, you will redirect to your authorization server, and you input your credentials there. And depending on what your application asks, you will get back an identity token and or an access token.
If I can pause right there, because it feels like that's no longer part of my program, right? The authentication is going somewhere else.
The part where the user inputs his credentials, and he provides consent to the application to access resources on his behalf, that's indeed, that's the middleware, the authorization server, the identity server that will handle that for you. Because it's very hard, it's very easy to do things wrong with these protocols.
Yeah.
So it's not something you want to implement from scratch yourself.
Absolutely.
You use a product for that.
So is it similar to when I go to Facebook and I say I want to log in with Facebook, for example? Is that the same kind of authorization flow?
That's a likewise flow indeed, yeah.
So what are you getting back from these identity sort of type servers like Facebook or identity server, for example?
Well, either ID tokens or access tokens, and they can contain, an identity token will contain information on who you are, on the user. So that might be your family name or your given name. An access token will allow the application to access resources on your behalf. So it will contain, a scope, let's say a read scope or a write scope or an API scope, depending on the granularity you want. That can be used by your app to access the API.
So let's see if I'm getting this right, because I want to understand it. And I, I know that security, you can just get it wrong, and so I want to make sure I understand. So when I'm writing my recipe app, when I hit the login button, it goes to this identity server,
yeah.
or it goes to this other authentication provider, yeah. and I put my username and password, that is what returns either an identity token or an access token, or both.
Your identity server will then return that to your app, yeah.
Okay, and once you have that token, what's in that token, in the identity token versus the access token?
In the identity token is information on the user. Mm-hmm. In the access token are scopes that allow or disallow access to an API.
So that's
the difference. But you still have to choose depending on the app on what flow you're going to use. There's a lot of decisions you have to make uh-huh. to do this correctly.
So what are some examples of decisions that you would have to make to do it correctly?
Well, the flow, which is the means to achieve those tokens, let's mm-hmm. say, depends on the type of application you're building.
Okay.
So I gave a session on Angular that's JavaScript-based, and a JavaScript-based application cannot safely store secrets. And for those, you have to use a flow that's called the implicit flow, because the other flows, well, one of the other flows, requires a client application to authenticate next to a user that authenticates. To authenticate, you need that secret. But a JavaScript application can't safely store that secret.
Right.
So if you choose the wrong flow, you're actually opening yourself up to a few risks, because you think you've got a secret stored safely, but in fact it isn't. So that's one of the decisions you have to make. The type of application you're building will define what kind of flow you can use. And depending on the flow you use, you will have access to certain pieces of functionality, or you won't have access to certain pieces of functionality. An implicit flow won't allow you refresh tokens, for example. An authorization code flow or hybrid flow, used for applications that can store secrets, those allow refresh tokens for long-lived access.
I see. So a refresh token is just like a way to say, yeah, it's still a valid token.
A refresh token is a token that can be used to exchange for a new access token.
Got it. Now,
because access tokens expire after a while, and either you have to log in again, but you typically don't want to do that.
Yeah.
After 20 minutes having the user provide his credentials again, it's yeah. not a good experience. So you use refresh tokens for that. But to be able to use refresh tokens, you can't do that in a JavaScript-based application. It wouldn't
see.
Be safe anymore.
So how do you do that? So because you did a part on Angular, right? You talked
yeah.
about Angular authorizing an Angular app. Because when you think about it, an Angular application downloads everything, and the app
yeah.
is
it's
pure
all on
client.
The client. Yeah, it's all on the client. Yeah.
So how do you get the token? Where do you put it? You said the flow is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Can you help us out with that?
To store the token, you would either store it in a cookie, local storage, or session storage.
Okay.
Depends on. Do you want the token to be able to be shared across apps or not? That would drive the decision for local storage.
Oh,
or
I see. Because you might have multiple Angular applications that need the same,
yeah.
for example,
yeah.
access and/or ID token.
Yeah. The implicit flow actually it's a flow that requires the Angular application to create a URI to the authorization endpoint mm-hmm. of identity server. You'll input your credentials, and identity server will redirect you to a page on the Angular application, a callback page, redirect page. And at that page, you need some kind of script to fetch the tokens from the URI, because they are delivered through the URI.
I see.
And from that moment on, you store them in your application, so you can pass the access token on each call to an API. So you store those in local storage or session storage.
That's interesting because here's the thing that always confused me. Sometimes these tokens are stored in cookies.
Yeah.
Other times they can't be stored in cookies at all. Like if you're using a mobile application, there's no cookie
yeah.
there. And maybe even for some client Angular type applications, there's no cookie either, perhaps.
You typically store them in local or session storage in Angular app. In a mobile app, you'd store them in whatever means that mobile app, depending on the operating system, has to store files in.
And you would get that token in the URI, you'd sort of rip it off, and then put it into
yeah.
the local storage.
Yeah. And you save it, and then you pass it on each call to the API as an a bearer token, authentication header on your HTTP client
A bearer token. Because since there's no cookie at that point, you're actually putting it in the header of the HTTP request.
Yep. It's not sent along with the cookie. It's in the header of the HTTP request.
Okay, so this makes a little bit more sense, but it still feels like there's a lot to learn about this. How did you get up to speed on this stuff? It feels like there's a lot of sort of, you need to look a lot to
actually,
know.
I read the protocols. I started reading.
This guy, he's like, just go read the protocols, okay? You can do it.
I know, it's very boring reads, but I still think it's more or less the best way to understand what's going on.
And how long is it? Is it really long?
It's about 70 pages, but there's a lot of references. So
you just got to remember 70 pages of protocol, people. That's all. But this guy obviously is way smarter than me. So is there a blog or somewhere we can go to learn about some of the stuff you did and maybe even look at the presentation that you did?
You can find my presentation on my site, www.kevindogs.com. The documentation of identity server itself is great as well to start understanding it. Dominic's blog is also a great place to start.
Least privilege. That's his, indeed. That's what he goes by.
Yeah. So those are great places to start learning this stuff.
Well, this has been super helpful. I love the way you sort of made sure to tell us there's dragons here. Be careful. Do this right. Yeah. And if you don't do it right, make sure you ask people who are obviously willing to help.
Yeah. Yep.
So thanks so much for being with us. We're here in Mechelen, beautiful city of Belgium, for Techorama 2016. We've learned a lot about authorization, authentication using tokens in various and sundry kinds of apps. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.